Third Canto, 5th Chapter, Text 20. Mandavyas Shapad Bhagavan. Raja Samyamano Yamaha. Bratu Kshetri Pujisyayam. Jata Satyavati Sthat. Mandavya Shapad Bhagavan. Raja Samyamano Yamaha. Bratu Kshetri Pujisyayam. Jata Satyavati Sukat. Please chant.
Mandavya Shapad Bhagavan.
Mandavya Shapad Bhagavan. Mandavya. The great Rishi Mandavya Muni. Shapat. By his curse. Bhagavan. The greatly powerful. Praja. One who is born. Samyamanaha. Controller of death. Yama. Known as Yamaraj. Bratu. Of the brother, Kshetra, in the wife, Vijisyayam, kept, Jata, born, Satyavati. Satyavati, the mother of both Vichitravirya and Vyasadeva. Supat, by the son Vyasadeva. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. So this is Maitreya speaking to Vidura. I know that you are now Vidura due to the cursing of Mandavya Muni, and that formerly you were King Yamaraj, the great controller of living entities after their death. You were begotten by the son of Satyavati, Vyasadeva, and were kept wife of his brother. Please repeat. I know that you are now Vidura, due to the cursing of Mandavya Muni, And that formerly you were King Yamaraj. The great controller of living entities after their death. You were begotten by the son of Satyavati, Vyasadeva, and the kept wife of his brother. Mandavya Muni, who also known as Manduka Muni, was a great sage, and Vidura was formerly the controller Yamaraj, who takes charge of the living entities after death. Birth, maintenance, and death are three conditional states of the living entities who are within the material world. As the appointed controller after death, Yamaraj once tried Mandavya Muni for his childhood profligacy, which means recklessness, and ordered him to be pierced with a lance. Mandavya, being angry at Yamaraj for awarding him undue punishment, cursed him to become a Shudra, member of the less intelligent laboring class. Thus Yamaraj took birth in the womb of the kept wife of Vichitravirya from the semen of Vichitravirya's brother, Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva, the son of Satyavati by the great sage Parashara, and Vichitravirya is the son of the same Satyavati by the great king Shantanu, the father of Bhishmadeva. This mysterious history of Vidura was known to Maitreya because he happened to be contemporary friend of Vyasadeva's. In spite of Vidura's birth from the womb of a kept wife, because he had otherwise high parentage and great connection, he inherited the highest talent of becoming a great devotee of the Lord. To take birth in such a great family is understood to be an advantage for attaining devotional life. Vidura was given this chance due to his previous greatness. So here we are finding out a little bit about Vidura's origin, and that he was formerly the controller of death. He held the post of the superintendent of death, Yamaraj. And the way he became Vidura was due to a curse by a powerful Muni, Mandavya Muni. And the curse came about because he thought that he was unjustly punished by Yamaraj. He was, the full background is that he was caught along with some thieves who were hiding out in his hermitage, in the hermitage of Mandavya Muni. And some constables came along and they arrested the thieves as well as Mandavya Muni. And they tried all of them. And somehow it happened that Mandavya Muni was sentenced to death by being pierced with a lance. I guess that's how they did it in those days, one of the ways of execution, like there's so many. And the king was, he pardoned the execution because Mandavya Muni was a great Muni, and like surely he was not at fault. So Mandavya Muni went to Yamaraj to try to understand how is it that he came into the situation where he would be executed. And Yamaraj told him that it was because once when he was a child he had tried to pierce an ant with a straw. So Mandavya Muni thought that this was very unjust and he cursed Yamaraj. And as a result of this curse he became Vidura. Although he had great spiritual acumen and he took a great birth for spiritual advancement, he was a Shudra. So it's sort of like a mixed thing. But still he was a great, he was a very well positioned for spiritual advancement as Vidura. And so as we know, he was the half-brother of Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Pandu. So in his post as the superintendent of death, Yamaraj As we know, he judges the living entities upon death, and more specifically, the sinful living entities. And as we know, he has his henchmen, the Yamadutas, who upon the death of the sinful living entities, they come and arrest the subtle body of the sinful person, and they take him to Yamraj for judgment and for putting in place the proper punishment for living entities. This is a little bit from another part of the third canto, just about how sinful entities are arrested and taken to Yamraj. As a criminal is arrested for punishment by the constables of the state, a person engaged in criminal sense gratification is similarly arrested by the Yamadutas, who bind him by the neck with a strong rope and cover his subtle body so that he may undergo severe punishment. While carried by the constables of Yamraj, he is overwhelmed and trembles in their hands. While passing on the road to Yamaloka, he is bitten by dogs, and he can remember the sinful activities of his life. He is thus terribly distressed. Under the scorching sun, the criminal has to pass through roads of hot sand with forest fires on both sides. He is whipped on the back by the constables because of his inability to walk, and he is afflicted by hunger and thirst. But unfortunately, there is no drinking water, no shelter, and no place for rest on the road. While passing on that road to the abode of Yamraj, he falls down in fatigue, and sometimes he becomes unconscious. But he is forced to rise again. In this way, he is very quickly brought to the presence of Yamraj. There he is at once engaged in the torturous punishment which he is destined to suffer. On the planet of Yamraj, the sinful man is given the chance to practice living in hellish conditions, which he will have to endure in the next life, and then he is given a chance to take birth on another planet to continue his hellish life. So Prabhupada makes the point that a large portion of the population will have to undergo this process because 99% of the population is sinful and they're not taking on Krishna consciousness. So we can imagine what awaits the majority of the population out there. So another point in the purport Prabhupada makes is that about Vidura receiving a good birth for spiritual advancement. Even though he was born as a Shudra, but spiritually he was well positioned. From today's purport, in spite of Vidura's birth from the womb of a kept wife, because he had otherwise high parentage and great connection, he inherited the highest talent of becoming a great devotee of the Lord. To take birth in such a great family is understood to be an advantage for attaining devotional life. So in the sixth chapter of the Gita, it talks a little bit about how a person who executes spiritual practices, how he can take birth, and he doesn't complete the process, he can take birth in a family of either Srimad or Shuchi, wealthy or pious. And if he has executed spiritual practices for a long time, he can take birth in a family of transcendentalists. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but just to clarify first that Vidura didn't really fall into that category because, as we'll learn in the next shloka, he was a confidential devotee of the Lord. So that wasn't necessarily his process. The point was that to take a good birth, a good parentage, is very conducive for spiritual advancement. One of Prabhupada's talks, I found that he says how Vidura was, it was the will of the Lord for him to take this birth. For Yamraj to take birth as Vidura, it was only the will of the Lord. He didn't go through the regular process of karma and such. Because Yamraj is one of the 12 Mahajans or authorities, and because he was so busy with his post as the superintendent of death, he was he was wanting to do some like preaching work and some other work besides being the superintendent of death. So therefore, by the will of the Lord, he was able to be cursed by the Muni and able to take birth as Vijaya. As he says, 99% of the population is sinful, so we can imagine that Yamaraj is, you know, the post of the superintendent of death is very busy, probably makes the point. So he comes into this world, he comes as Vijaya by the will of the Lord. He's cursed by the Muni by the will of the Lord, and not through regular practice of karma and so forth. But as far as the regular condition soul, in the sixth chapter of the Gita, you can just go over a little bit about that, as I mentioned already. An unsuccessful yogi. An unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people, Shuchi, or into a family of rich aristocracy, Srimad. Or if unsuccessful after a long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. So if he practices yoga for some time, or is unsuccessful, he takes a birth in a family of Srimad or Shuchi, aristocracy, like rich or pious, basically, so he can get better facilities in the next life for spiritual advancement. And if after a long period of practice of yoga or spiritual practices, he can get an even better birth in a family of transcendentalists. Of course, sometimes it can be a double-edged sword if one takes a birth in a rich aristocratic family, because he can fall prey to you. If there's too many material facilities, of course, he can fall down, and he can just become victim of too much sense gratification. So it can be like a double-edged sword. The yogi who falls after a short period of practice goes to the higher planets, where pious living entities are allowed to enter. After prolonged life there, one is sent back again to this planet to take birth in a family of righteous brahmanas or of aristocratic merchants. So upon taking such a better birth in the next life, he's able to revive his divine consciousness and continue on to perfection in Krishna consciousness. But did anybody want to add to that? Anything I said so far? Otherwise, we'll go on to a couple of other things that anybody wants to add. Yes.
When Mandavya was a child, that concept is a child is not really responsible for any act. You know, they know salt in
age. I believe it's age 5.
Lord Krishna says, from 14 years downwards.
Oh, I thought it was 5.
You know, one is not really held responsible. When he was speaking to Uddhava. So that, you know, that point is clear. So Mandavya Muni had a great reason to, you know, but of course we know it's the will of the Lord, you know, but I just bring that point up because...
Yes, right, thank you. That's why he was upset.
Yeah.
Prabhupada also says that sometimes Yamaraj can make a mistake, like the superintendent of death can make a mistake, and so he can get cursed. But all of that was, like I said earlier, the will of the Lord.
Also, some sages can be even more powerful than the demigods. And that's why sometimes Indra tried to send women to allude great sages and so, because they're actually more powerful than the demigods.
Thank you. Yes. It seems also that some souls, even though maybe not born in an aristocratic, yeah, sorry for that, seems to have some very good puna or something, because like sometimes you go on book distribution or Arinam, and they come and they want to chant with you and all that. It seems that they have a background that is allowing them to take this.
That's a nice point. Like it's mixed. Like it's perfect for that jiva. Like whatever birth he got, it's perfect. You know, he may have a little opulence, or he may have some more opulence. He may have some nice facilities in his family, but then something is difficult in his family. You know, like Vidura. Yeah, great parentage, but he was a Shudra, so it's like mixed and particular to that living entity. It's not always like, oh, I'm either rich or I'm poor. It's like mixed.
I find this term, kept wife, curious. I've never seen it in a kept wife.
No, I'm not sure. Does anyone have an idea about that?
I thought that it meant that because she was a maidservant, right? Vidura's mother was actually the maidservant of the queen, so maybe that's that term, kept wife. Mm-hmm.
This personality, like the office, the asset, so for the night be the wife, you know, and that's what she was brought up over.
That's fine, Matthew.
I was thinking it's a blessing, the fact that there is a mixture, you know, born in good family but yet a Shudra, or people who are rich but there is some downside, or
mixed.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the earth is like that. That's why on earth it's good for spiritual life, because there's a lot of miseries, but then there's a lot of good. But because of the miseries, then you take shelter.
Exactly.
So the mixture, I was thinking, is actually a good mixture.
Right, because if it's too much wealth and opulence, they'll just engage in sense gratification.
Or too much poverty.
Right. So it's mixed, yeah. Okay. I'll just make a couple other points and then we can have some more discussion, if you'd like. So the point is made, in the following shloka, the point will be made how, as I mentioned, Vidura was a confidential devotee of the Lord, so he wasn't just an ordinary jiva, he was cursed. And one way that we can distinguish Lord's confidential devotees from ordinary jivas is that their desire to share absolute knowledge with the world. And for example, we can see these qualities in Vidura, how he instructs Dhritarashtra later on in absolute knowledge. And also his current talks with Maitreya for the benefit of the whole world. So that is one quality of a Lord's confidential devotee. He wants to bring this absolute knowledge to the world. And so I just wanted to make just a couple points about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is for us like sort of our modern acharya, predecessor acharya, who shared this absolute knowledge with the world and with us, and would come down through his lineage. So for us, he's like, you know, the relevant confidential devotee, obviously Prabhupada, but everything that
Prabhupada learned and taught us comes originally from the modern predecessor, which is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I just wanted to share a couple of tidbits about him, which maybe you've heard, maybe you've not heard, just two or three things. Obviously, we know he first wrote an English language devotional Vaishnava books, and he was the first to send these books to the West. And we know in 1896 he sent a book he wrote about Lord Chaitanya to several academic institutions. And also before that, in 1880, he sent copies of his works to Ralph Waldo Emerson and Reinhold Roesch in Europe. So he was the first to write of his great science in English and to send the books to the West. So that's how we owe him our debt, anyway. And does anybody know the book that he first, when, in 1896, when he sent the book to the West, to some academic institutions, what was that book that he wrote about Lord Chaitanya? Srimad Gauranga Lila Smara Mangala, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was the first book that he wrote that was in English that he sent to the West. Another interesting point, which I had never heard about, and I'll just finish with this point, was how he, we know he had this publication called the Sajjana Toshin, which was a monthly journal in Bengali, exposing all these teachings, Vaishnava teachings. It was called the Sajjana Toshin, and it was used as a prime means for propagating Chaitanya teachings in Bengal. Even before it was sent to the West, it was actively trying to preach through this publication in Bengal. And does anybody know what the title Sajjana Toshin means in English? In Bengali, what does it mean in English? Does anybody know? Okay. Yes, very close. Mm-hmm. The source of pleasure for devotees. And one interesting point which I learned recently was that this publication was very instrumental in preaching to a class of Bengalis who were known as the Bhadra Lok. And they were basically like the intelligentsia of Bengalis. They were intelligentsia Bengalis who were came under the influence of the British. And it wasn't like a good thing, because they brought into question a lot of the Hindu and Bengali traditions. And this is one of the reasons, through these intelligentsia, this Bhadra Lok, these like Britishized Bengalis, it was through them that, like, one of the reasons why like bhakti came into obscurity. Because, and one of the reasons why Advaita Vedanta became more connected, like, when you think of Hinduism, you think of Advaita Vedanta. So, this was one of the reasons, was because of these Bhadra Lok, these faux Britishers that were, like, actually Bengalis, and they wanted to, like, present themselves more as, like, Britishers and Westerners. So I thought that was interesting, that this, one of the reasons how Advaita Vedanta became connected to this idea of Hinduism, even though Hinduism is not that. And I'll just read a little bit about that. So the Sajjana Toshin, this journal by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was used as a prime means for propagating Chaitanya teachings, especially amongst the Bhadra Lok, the intelligentsia of Bengal, a class of educated Bengalis who worked within the British administration, and who began to call into question many Hindu and Bengali traditions, including bhakti. Exposed to and influenced by the Western values of the British, including the latter's often condescending attitude toward cultural and religious traditions in India, the Bhadra Lok themselves started calling into question and reassessing the tenets of their own religion and customs. Your attempt to rationalize and modernize Hinduism in order to reconcile it with the Western outlook eventually gave rise to a historical period called the Bengali Renaissance, championed by such prominent reformists as Mohan Roy and Swami Vivekananda. This trend gradually led to a widespread perception, both in India and in the West, of modern Hinduism as being equivalent to Advaita Vedanta. The conception of the divine as devoid of form and individuality that was hailed by its proponents as the perennial philosophy and the mother of religions. As a result, the other schools of Hinduism, including Bhakti, were gradually relegated in the minds of the Bengali Hindu middle class to obscurity and often seen as reactionary and fossilized jumble of anti-rituals and idolatrous practices. The Vajralok to thank for that. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was doing his efforts through essential Toshin publication to preach to them and to resurrect Vaishnavism and bring it back into its proper place. Anyone want to add anything to that?
Yes.
I just wanted to ask, do you know the influence that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had by these articles towards the Bhadraloka people?
Yes, apparently he was very successful. Mm-hmm. He preached them, he was able to convert many of them to Vaishnavism. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to add anything? Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Thank you.
Thank you.